Alright, welcome back to episode number 4 of the Mindflated Podcast. Like I said before, my name's John Bennett. I just started this podcast about a month ago, trying to do it weekly every Sunday and update it as much as possible, trying to just basically do conversations with my friends, talk about whatever, and do a little something different today. I've decided to research a little bit. I hear Joe Rogan talking about DMT all the time, doing that drug. And I looked up Terrence McKenna's profile on YouTube, and he's got a video describing it. So I was going to play that video today, or that audio, and let you listen to it about what all he says, how your body transforms when you're on the stuff. It says on, I was looking up DMT on Wikipedia, and there's so many different ways, the chemical substance DMT, there's like 5 or 6 different ones. There's also one that you can use for sports. Let's see if I can find the one that I'm looking for. Okay, here we go. Dimethylene tryptamine, naturally occurring psychedelic compound. That's okay. Wow, it's got a 3D picture on here about how it works. It doesn't have a. It's a scheduled 1 narcotic, I guess it says on here. Let's see what else it said. But this Terrence McKenna, he's the one that basically invented it. He's the one that's out there promoting it. It says it's a psychedelic compound of the tryptamine family. Its presence is widespread throughout the plant kingdom. DMT occurs in trace amounts in mammals, including humans, where it putatively functions as a trace amine neurotransmitter. It is originally derived from the essential amino acid tryptophan and ultimately produced by the enzyme INMT during normal metabolism. The significance of its widespread natural presence remains undetermined. Structurally, DMT is analogous to the neurotransmitter serotonin, the hormone melatonin, and other psychedelic tryptamines such as bufotene, psilocybin, I don't know all this stuff. But basically, I was going to play the audio today and let you listen to what Terrence McKenna describes how what your body does while you're on this stuff, because I've got a plan. I'm trying to get some when I go to Minnesota in September. I was going to try it and see how it affects my body, how it affects my outlook on life, because evidently it's one of these drugs that after you had the psychedelic experience, it's basically like a medicine. It's not like a drug. But also I've got audio from a 5-minute little clip that I found from the cookout last weekend that me and Mike and Terry and Dustin and Amy and Mindy and this dude Cameron and his wife Chelsea were all there. We were talking a little bit. I'm going to play that also. And then I have a 5-minute drunken conversation, me, Terry, and Dustin at his house last night. I was a little drunk, a little wasted, and we went through Dustin's pantry and his refrigerator just to see how white he is, and turned out he's not white at all. There was like watermelon in the refrigerator and all kinds of stuff that we found. But I'll play that after I play the other two audio clips. All right, here's the first one with Terrence McKenna describing DMT.
You feel as though your body is undergoing some strange kind of anesthesia. All the air has been pumped out of the room. This is the visual acuity thing I talked about last night. The colors jump up. The edges sharpen. And at that point, people say, whoa, wow, it's really coming on strong. And then what you have to do is you have to take one more enormous hit. And this separates the intrepid from the casual, believe me. Because most people, and the facilitator doesn't want to lean on the person. You say, you know, damn it, take the third hit. And say, no, I feel completely weird. I know you feel weird, but take the third hit. Well, if you can coax somebody into that, then what happens is you close your eyes and you see the ordinary warm brown, you know, closed eyelid scenario. And then these colors begin racing together and it forms this mandalic, floral, slowly rotating thing, which I call the chrysanthemum. This is a place in the trip that you want to see as you go by it. The chrysanthemum forms and you watch it for like 15 seconds. If it doesn't give way, then you didn't do enough. You have to do more. One more hit usually will do it. Well, then what happens is it like physically propels you through this chrysanthemum-like thing, and there's a sound like a saran wrap bread wrapper being crumpled up and thrown away, you know, that crackle. A friend of mine says, this is your radio infilecti leaving through the anterior fontanelle at the top of your head. I don't know what it is, but it's something is being... Yeah, right, that's what it is. And then there's this very, very defined sense of bursting through something, a membrane. And on the other side, and this is now, remember, my experience, on the other side, as you break through, there's a cheer. There's a whole bunch of entities waiting on the other side. And they, you know that Pink Floyd song, The Gnomes Have Learned a New Way to Say Hooray? Well, it's that place. It's those gnomes. And you burst into this space, and they're saying, how wonderful that you're here. You come so rarely. We're so delighted to see you. And one of the things about the MT that's really puzzling is, in a sense, it doesn't affect your mind. In other words, you don't change. For instance, if you take ketamine, the first thing you notice, the very first thing you notice before the trip hits, is you notice that you no longer are anxious about having taken ketamine. You just sort of, anxiety leaves you. That means it's affecting your mind. It's doing something to the judgmental machinery. DMT doesn't lay a hand on the judgmental machinery. You break through into that space exactly who you were before breaking through. And the usual reaction of most people is something like, you know, and you think, God, heartbeat, normal, pulse, normal, everything's normal, yeah, everything's normal, oh God, because these things are there, and they're hammering at you, and they come forward, they're like jewel self-dribbling basketballs, and there are many of them, and they come pounding toward you, and they will stop in front of you and vibrate, but then they do a very disconcerting thing, which is they jump into your body. They jump into your body, and then they jump back out again. And the whole thing is going on in this very high-speed mode where you're being presented with thousands of details per second, and you can't get a hold on, you say, you know, my God, what's happening? And these things are saying, don't abandon yourself to amazement, which is exactly what you want to do. You just want to go nuts with how crazy this is. They say, don't do that. Don't do that. Pay attention. Pay attention to what we're doing. Well, what are they doing? Well, what they're doing is they're making objects with their voices. They're singing structures into existence. These things are, and what they will do is they'll come toward you, and then, and you have to understand, they don't have arms, so we're kind of downloading this into a lower dimension to even describe it. But what they do is they offer things to you. Say, look at this, look at this. And as your attention goes toward these objects, you realize that what you're being shown is impossible. It's impossible. It's not simply intricate, beautiful, and hard to manufacture. It's impossible to make these things. The nearest analogy would be to the Fabergé eggs or something like that. That these things are like the toys that are scattered around the nursery inside a UFO or something. celestial toys, and they are the toys themselves appear to be somehow alive. The toys themselves can sing other objects into existence. So what's happening is there's just this proliferation of elf gifts, and the elf gifts are moving around, singing, and the whole thing is directed toward, they're saying, do what we are doing. And they're very insistent. They say, do it, do it, do it. And you feel like a bubble. And now this is subjective. I mean, only 5% report this, but it happens to me. You feel like some kind of bubble inside your body that's beginning to move up toward your mouth. And when it comes out, it isn't sound, it's vision. You discover that you can pump stuff out of your mouth by singing, and they're urging you to do that. They say, that's it, keep doing it. And the whole thing is like, we're now at minute 4.5 with this stuff, and you speak in a kind of glossolalia. There's a spontaneous outpouring of syntax unaccompanied by what is normally called meaning. It's sort of the, he ding wow wak sop di di mu di 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 ding get wak si di bi bing and waha vedetam bohaga gay tech. And this is accompanied by a modality, something seen, and they're saying, yes, do it, do it, do it. And then after a minute or so of this, the whole thing begins to collapse in on itself. And they literally begin to physically move away from you. And usually their final shot is they actually wave goodbye and they say, deja vu, deja vu, which makes no sense at all if you analyze it. So then you come down and you're now at minute 6 to 7. And you come down, and it's like being more loaded than you've ever been. It's like about a 700 mic acid trip, but you embrace it as totally down. You say, I'm totally down. I mean, you look like a termite from Arcturus, and the room is decorated in Amish quilts, but I'm completely back. And then, over a minute or a minute and a half or so, the room just comes right back together.
There you have it from the man himself, Terrence McKenna. I was looking up his profile while he was speaking. It said he passed away in 2000. I didn't know he had passed away, but it said he had a long-time sufferer of migraines. And he had brain cancer. He didn't even know it. He went to the doctor, and they told him he was going to have 4 months to live. And he says on his profile on here on Wikipedia that when he found that out, he kind of just started taking his life a little bit more seriously and trying to go back and make stuff better for his family and his brothers, his kids. He wanted to try and leave behind a legacy. And basically that's all he did once he found out that he was going to be dying in 4 months. Let's see here. I'm trying to set up this next clip. Like I said, this is us at the cookout. It's hard to go from that clip talking about death to Mike's cookout. Here we go. Like I said, this is only like a 5-minute clip, and it's a couple of us just sitting around busting on each other. Here you go.
Don't be a brat. Be a big girl.
There's
not a bug in there anymore. People breathe in bugs all the time.
No, can't shoot it.
Kelsey.
Noon County.
If you don't eat that, I'm going to be upset. That's a waste of food.
Noon County.
Nothing wrong with that food.
They're starving kids in Africa.
No, anymore.
You know that.
If you pick it up, there's no bug in there.
It's like one, two, and then two more.
You don't eat your hot dog. Don't eat your sides.
Yeah, it didn't touch a hot dog.
It touched something I want.
You know, some people eat chocolate-covered bugs.
Starving kids in Africa would love the hot dog.
That's right. Just the starving kids. We showed her a video. We showed her a video of starving kids. So this, you want to say that you're starving? Right. These kids are really starving.
Right.
Okay.
Kelsey, you know, like Terry's family.
Go get the ketchup.
Yeah.
We'll get you a new plate. We'll put some
just
ketchup.
Just douse it in ketchup and it'll cover the germs right up.
Pussy is gone. No, stop.
No, no, hot sauce no, kills no, all the germs. Go get the hot sauce.
Go.
Those dogs will eat any bugs.
Get the,
that are
get the hot sauce and get a Mike Finn. 40 ounce. Out of the freezer.
Is that why black kids don't ever get sick?
Where's my photo?
I was wondering. I was like, man, I'll never get
you
sick.
You know, no kids got sick photo? Back like 20 years ago, but all the kids got allergies now.
Dude, that's what I'm trying to tell you.
Classification of a nation.
I'm trying to tell you.
There's starving kids in Africa that would love some peanut butter.
Preach it.
This is no peanut butter song.
I have an allergen to peanuts, so we can't eat that in our school.
I need this dog for my emotions. It's a stress relief dog. Yeah.
Shit, they're eating dogs over there. You said, dog, I ain't got enough food to feed you.
About to eat Riley.
She used to always say, I'm so hungry, I'm starving. So we made her watch a video on YouTube of starving children.
It wasn't a hardcore video, but I mean.
She's like, why are all those kids more darker than me?
Where is Africa?
It shows like, you know.
What planet is that?
Really starving.
All those kids look like Big T.
All those kids in that movie look like Terry's girlfriend.
Leave that girl alone, man. Leave the girl alone to you, man. That girl there is none of you.
That was a good clue. It was just using that as a clue.
That's all. A hippo? Big T? Come on, now.
Hey, Big T can work it just like a hippo. That's hey, a compliment.
Hey, is that chick I never met?
Nope. You didn't meet her?
She didn't exist.
She came to Applebee's and didn't tip you a couple times.
You're trying to eat, Bobo.
She didn't tip Terry either.
I gave her the tip though.
Oh, that's disgusting.
Just a tip.
Man, I just ate, man.
Chelsea, go get your cup. Come on. Oh, I had two cups. Hey, we'll go get a new cup and a new plate.
I never want to play this game again.
You still ain't even guess what's under your head either.
I really want you to guess.
Yeah.
You're so easy.
I feel like crack cocaine. Okay. Like
close.
If I go get it.
You're on the right path.
We're about to have a $400,000 crack party.
Shout out. It's hard to be a big boy.
Yes. You never seen a roundhouse?
No, it's not a roundhouse.
Oh, hey, if you go on YouTube and go to Joe Rogan's channel, dude, he's got a video of himself on there when he was like 17 or 18 at a Taekwondo tournament, knocking a dude out. Huh? Doing the spinning back kick. Knocks a guy out. He's got the pads on and everything. Yeah. Rogan's not wearing any pads. The guy he's fighting against. Yeah, he's got that on there too. Where he's teaching GSB how to do it. But he straight up walks up to the dude, spins around, just spinning back kick to the head, and the dude gets knocked out, and he's got the gear on and everything, still knocked him out.
About how his instructor was such an ass because he was like 16, making him fight like 20-something-year-old.
Oh, yeah, because he was like the oldest guy, one of the older, or he was like the youngest guy out of his group. Everybody else is old.
You want ketchup or macaroni? Kelsey?
No, I don't.
I'll get it. You don't want some new macaroni if I get you some?
Who's fighting?
What?
I don't know.
Hey, I'll eat that macaroni and baked beans.
I watched Chuck Liddell versus Vanderlei Silva earlier on UFC 97.
Can I drink all of it?
Versus,
can I drink all of it?
I don't want y'all to make me watch that.
Yeah, but you know, he used to get wasted before every fight.
I know, it probably sounds like
Bruce
Franklin.
Wasn't that bad. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Chuck Liddell used to get wasted before the fights.
I think that's a good
thing. Him and Shamrock. Like Dana White, that podcast said Dana White used to catch Shamrock at the casino like 3 a.m. in the morning before a fight.
Give Michael that bottle, please.
Bottle empty?
Oh, man, I think I found a roach leg in mine.
He's just
all right, that was the audio from Mike's cookout that didn't get played last time that I had left over. Like I said, this next clip I have on here, it says, I recorded this at 2:37 a.m. Sunday morning. I don't remember this. I was a little drunk. We went to the depot last night and I pretty much fucked up my left ankle. It's pretty bruised and swollen right now. Tried to do a back handspring and almost hit a closet door and twisted my ankle after I hit it. And then like I said, took some shots, drank some beers, smoked some cigarettes, came back to Dustin's house at like 2 o'clock in the morning and tried to record for the podcast. The first one I messed up, evidently I didn't even hit record. We sat there and talked for like 20 minutes and didn't record any of it. And I said, well, let me just take this inside. I'll record us making fun of Dustin's cupboard, making fun of all of his food. So here's that audio of all of us doing that.
Terry, listen to some rich people got in this pantry. Let's go ahead and commentate on that. All right. Some rich people got some club ass crackers.
Yes.
Every rich person I know. Okay.
Some and then, creamy peanut butter.
Yep. And they have some fucking
corn, peas, sunflower seeds. Right.
Wait, and they're already fucking peeled too. Okay, I'm gonna eat this shit on this fucking thing.
Girl Scout cookies. You know, white people got to have the Girl Scout cookies.
These are generic corn flakes.
Yes.
And the K. Rogers.
Some bull in the bag rice. That's very white.
Nah, that's Zatarain's right there. This shit's good as
about
fuck.
About 12 boxes of pasta.
We got a lot
hamburger
of
fucking helper. That's actually black. Hamburger helper.
Ooh, croutons. Croutons is white as hell.
Yeah, croutons.
What black person? Hey,
move them out of the way and look at what's behind the croutons.
And white people have their can of Crisco in the pantry. Black people have theirs in the bathroom.
I ain't trying to fix my hair tonight.
Black people have their can of Crisco in the bathroom.
Hey, we got the Aunt Jemima right there, though.
And pancake syrup. That's pretty white. Pancake syrup.
Crystal White's white as hell. What are you?
Four boxes and open a Crystal White.
Bubbo can't talk because his mouth's full of croutons. Hey, very black right here. A bottle of Frank's Red Hot. I'm talking about a big bottle. 23 ounces of unopened Frank's Red Hot. That's probably more than
that's somebody in Christ right there. Oyster crackers.
Yeah.
And that's for church.
Oyster crackers.
You get some juice.
Uncle Ben's rice.
Yep.
2% milk.
All right, go ahead and watermelon.
That expires next weekend.
Yes.
So look, more Frank's Red Hot. And Hooters Hot Sauce.
Bud Light Margarita. Yep.
Right. Taco Bell Medium Taco Sauce. In the bottle, not the...
What is that pink box? That's some white shit.
That's
right
a fucking cupcake.
A cupcake.
Okay.
Treats Bakery, Covington, Georgia.
Every white person has a cupcake. What is this? Aloe vera? Black people do not need aloe vera in the refrigerator.
Chicken.
Chicken. Mm. We're not gonna why is there a candle in the freezer? What does that make sense of?
Hey, there's a flask of there, too.
Neapolitan.
Okay.
Neapolitan ice cream.
That's very white.
That's vanilla.
Yeah, especially because it's called Neapolitan.
Yeah.
Dustin, you got three more bottles of hot sauce in the freezer.
That's right.
In the refrigerator.
I'm not gonna lie, man. Three bottles of hot sauce is mandatory.
And watermelon.
Hey, those peanuts right there? What's that? That's a hamburger. That's a hamburger.
Dude, I'm
let's look at what else Dustin has got. This white as shit in his fucking pantry right now. In his refrigerator. Okay, only white people use supplements.
What?
C4.
Supplements?
Yeah, it's called weed. And you got a cake. That's that fart. You got some cake batter, can.
That's my dildo right there.
You got a dildo, a case for your dildo.
Yeah.
You got, okay, what black person has? These are rubber cupcake holders. Yeah, that's what white people have. Well, I mean, except for the Crisco. You got shot glasses. Pretty sure these are not good at all. Margarita glasses.
Hey, I think you're Brazilian girl.
I think my ex bought those. Let's see what else you got here. Wait. Abita, woodchuck, draft beers. I'm eating Dustin's potato chips, by the way. These are gross. Jalapeno. People have Keurig coffee makers, by the way. What's this shit? A Minnie and Mickey Mouse fucking coffee cup. Let's see. What else we got? This white as fucking this motherfucker. Okay, Only white people have collars for their dogs. Huh?
Girl walking a dog.
I got some tea, Tri-Heart Plus, pills for dogs' hearts. That's definitely not.
I'm pretty white.
Damn it, man, I shouldn't have ate this jalapeno. Peanut chips, I can't fucking breathe. Hey, dog.
I got pills.
Oh, so you need to do that in the dark? Money on my mind. On my mind.
What the hell's going on out here?
Dude, those fucking chips, man.
This man smoking? Man, I thought I could play some Tiger Woods, you janky ass motherfucker.
It's still loading.
Nah, it's not done loading that.
What about update?
Oh, yeah?
That's
how
big
our chips are.
Yeah, I can't breathe still.
I could be mean and fuck your stream up where you piss on your shoes, but I ain't gonna do that to you. Cause I'm a shoe fanatic, but I really want to.
All right, I'm glad that audio was over. That was kind of embarrassing. I didn't know I was that fucking wasted, and I definitely don't remember recording any of that. We just walk around. We walked to the depot because we were going to get fucked up and then walk back. But we decided that it would be better for us just to get Terry to drive. Terry came back up there and met us and gave us a ride home. So we got to come back and sit in Dustin's driveway and listen to Eazy-E for about 20 minutes while I was stuck in the car. Then we came inside, drank even more beers, and smoked a little ganja. But, yeah, I definitely don't even remember, like, any of these conversations we had last night. So, after all that's been said and done, next weekend, I'm not sure what the plan is. It'll be, I guess, the 29th of January, somewhere around there. But, I'll take my phone with me wherever. Oh, yeah, actually, I got a plan Saturday. We're going to the Braves game, and Moose wants to get there pretty early, like at 11 or 12, and start cooking out. So, we're going to get there early. Get fucked up, drink some beers, and I'll definitely record a couple of conversations while we're sitting there playing cornhole or something or cooking out, because I know he's got a lot of food that he's going to cook and a lot of meats and beers to be drank. So until that next time I do that, I'll leave you on this note. As soon as this song pops up, as usual, my YouTube is going extremely slow and I can't get any music to play on it. Because what I do on this podcast is I play the music from my cell phone instead of using the audio from the internet. And I might as well just go ahead and sign off because this thing's been loading for about a minute. But until next time, I'm John Bennett. Thanks again for listening. Hope you guys check out my Twitter. Hit me up. Let me know how you like the podcast. Rate it on iTunes. And on that note, I'll sign off. Okay, not yet. Still waiting on this audio. Let me get it to do it. God damn it. Come on now.